sometimes if I have a word, I will, it's because I've had a vision of something. And so I will, you know, sit down and kind of write out the vision that I've had. And then the Lord just starts talking to me about scriptures. And sometimes I'll just have like a word that, the Lord will drop into my spirit, and I'll just kind of study that out. And then sometimes, man, it's, it's scary because I have something, but I don't really always know exactly what direction I'm supposed to go in. Like I could go in 1,000 different directions. So I called Mom. I was like, how do you do this every single week? Like, how do you just sit down and just, you know, and I know you yield to the Holy Spirit. I get that, but it's like, whoa, I'm shaking up here. Like my armpits are sweating, and don't put that on the thing, but whew. So yeah. So this morning actually came from a scripture. We had our bridal company last month, and Sim was talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, and was making a reference to that scripture being the bride of Christ. And I'm telling you, I've heard that 1,000 times, but I don't know what happened, but something clicked inside of me that changed how I saw that woman. And I have never been the same. It's like I can't think about it any other way now. And she had this mannequin that was here with a wedding gown on. And the way that that wedding gown was positioned on the body, you know, on that mannequin, it was so beautiful. And she starts talking about those scriptures about the bride of Christ. And she was talking about it, and how one of the things that really like struck me was how the dress was made up of the righteousness of God. Like it was made up of the righteous deeds of the saints. And it was like, when I saw it like that, all I could think about was his righteousness on us is what makes that dress. And I just saw that so differently. And it was like, man, a bride coming down the aisle in sparkling white, just that clean white. I don't know. It did something to me and how I saw that bride and how I saw that dress. And I started to think about that, and I realized, like, the Lord highlighted to me the shoulders of the mannequin, and how the shoulders is what actually held that dress onto that body, and how the shoulders broadened and perfectly aligned is what caused that dress to hang and be so beautiful. And that's when the Lord started talking to me about the shoulders. And so, you know, that was last month, and I would sit down and I would write out some scriptures, and the Lord would talk to me, and they were really good scriptures. Most of them really had to do with myself personally. So I didn't feel that all of it was to do with, you know, I didn't even really think it was a word, to be honest with you. I just thought it was mostly for myself. But I kept going back to the shoulders of the bride of Christ. And I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And when it came, you know, Mom was leaving this week to go on Mom and Dad were going on their anniversary. And I just felt like I needed to just make a bold declaration of faith of, hey, I'll take the word. I did not have it, by the way. But I just felt like I needed to step out by faith, because I believed that if I stepped out by faith, the Lord would really speak to me. And I just believed that he wanted to talk to the body about the shoulders. And so every day I sat down at the table and I wrote and tore out of my notebook and wrote and tore out another page and wrote. And I bet you I had 5, 6, 8 pages torn out on my notebook, and all of them were good things, but nothing that really merited standing here and, you know, giving the word. And so like midweek, I'm freaking out because I got nothing. I have one scripture written down on a piece of paper, and that was it Thursday roll around and I'm freaking out even more. And I'm like, oh dear God, I don't know what to do. Then I regretted telling her that I would preach. And I was thinking, can't she just come home early and take it? You know, isn't the Lord speaking to her while she's at the beach and giving her some fantastic revelation? He did not. So I just said, Lord, I trust you. You've given me this. I don't know what you're giving me, but you've given me something, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen and obey. And I just believe that you want to speak to your people. So this is probably not the, you know, maybe it's a dumb title. Jonathan always has the best titles for his messages. But if you're wanting to take notes, I'm going to call this proper shoulder alignment. Just plain and simple, no fancy schmancy. Okay. And I have quite a bit of scripture today. I'm going to kind of be flipping back and forth. So if you're taking notes and you just want to write it down, you can. Or if you feel like flipping with me, you can too. So we'll just go ahead. All right, so jump. All right, so turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. And this is kind of where we're going to start with this. I'm going to start with this, and then I think I might end with it too. And I'm going to kind of go midway there, and I'm going to start with, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt him and give him glory, because the wedding celebration of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, shining and bright and clear, has been given to her to wear. And the fine linen represents the righteous deeds of his holy believers. So that is the scripture that literally marked me about the righteousness of God being the clothing that we wear. And one of the things that the Lord said was the importance of shoulder alignment in order to hold the weight of this dress. It is so important that our shoulders, the shoulders of the bride of Christ, are aligned properly in order to be able to wear his righteousness properly. Does that make sense? And how the shoulders have to be able to be, they can't be misaligned or off. And if they are, the straps fall down and things just don't fit snug the way that they need to. And so keep in mind, as we're talking about this and we're talking about the bride and the shoulders, we're really talking about the righteous, his righteousness that we wear as the bride of Christ. You following me? Now, there was a few things that he talked to me specifically about, and he said, when our shoulders are out of alignment, it can affect our whole body. And when our body is affected, you know that it limits what we do. It limits how we function. It limits our movement. It limits our range of motion. It limits how we function in everyday life. And some of the very specific things that he said, and I want to make a comparison of these physically, but also spiritually. So he said that it affects our range of motion. It causes very painful movements and actually can cause very painful walking. And it can limit your mobility, and it can even cause you to be sedentary and not move at all. It can weaken you, and then that causes loss of muscle. Also, it can cause you to have difficulty in lifting your arms, you know, like this. And it can also cause neck issues. So some of the things that the Lord talked to me about with the range of motion is that when our spiritual shoulders are out of alignment, there is only a very limited amount of things that we will do for the Lord. Our range of motion is very limited. And if he asks us to do anything outside of that comfort zone, we cannot. we won't push past the pain oftentimes, because sometimes it hurts too much. You know what I mean? And then he said that oftentimes our walk with God is very hindered and limited, and our obedience to him is hindered and limited. Amen? And then that causes us to be spiritually weak, and it causes us to not really be able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then the next thing that he said, and I loved this so much, and this was the difficulty in lifting your arms. We know that lifting your arms is a sign of surrender to the Lord. It kind of is symbolic of our surrender to him. We lift our hands in worship because we're praising him, but we also lift our hands to say, I surrender my life to you fully. Here I am. I'm fully exposed, hands lifted. You know, if I'm standing here like this, fully exposed, I'm vulnerable to everything that comes my way, right? And so if your shoulders are out of alignment or dislocated, if they're broken or fractured in any way, then what happens is we're unable to lift our arms, but so much. So the surrender is limited. Does that make sense? Our praise is limited, and how we project our praise and our voice to the Lord will be very limited because of the misalignment of those shoulders. Amen? And then the last part of that is when your shoulders are out of alignment, it affects your neck and how your neck moves, the range of motion in your neck. We know that the shoulders, the neck is, it connects the shoulders to the head, Jesus Christ being the head of the body, and we are the body. So if your neck is out of alignment because of your shoulders, then that will create an issue of connection between you and the head of the church, right? So everything that has to do with your shoulders is so important, that your shoulders are strong and that they're aligned properly so that your relationship with the Lord is not hindered. Amen? Now, I began to look up some things by the help of the Lord that says it is some causes of shoulder misalignment. But before I do, I want to just clarify something. Your shoulders represent, or the shoulders represent power. It represents authority, strength, and might. And so if the shoulders are misaligned, then that means your power, your authority, every part of that as a believer is misaligned. Make sense? All right. So some causes of shoulder misalignment I'm just going to I'm going to say four things and then I'm going to break them down if you're taking notes. Okay. So also let me go back. Your shoulders in alignment also help you wear your clothing properly, right? That's really important. All right. So four things that will cause shoulder misalignment. Number one is injury or accident. In injuries and accidents, there can be broken bones, there's can be breaks, fractures, or dislocations, all right? Sometimes when there's injury to your body, it affects how your shoulders move, all right? Number two is going to be overuse. Your shoulders can be overused, and that will hinder your body. Number three is overburdened. Your shoulders can be overburdened and cause you to get out of alignment. Number four, poor posture. If your shoulders are not properly aligned because of poor posture, then that also can hinder every part of your life. All right. So I'm going to break this down just a little bit. And we're going to go to number one, injury and accident. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to read this one from the New King James Version. And that's going to be in Psalm 51, verse 7 and 8. Now, injury and accident, sometimes we miss the mark and there's sin. Sometimes there are breaks in our connection to the Lord. Sometimes there are fractured places in our relationship that cause broken fellowship, times that we miss it, times that we sin, and we break our communion and we break our fellowship with the Lord, right? There have been times when we've had little small fractures, and there have been times when we've had shattered bones and completely broken and completely pulled away from the Lord. And then there have also been times when something happened that didn't break our, you know, didn't break us, didn't fracture our connection to the Lord, but it just caused a misalignment. We just kind of got a little off in our alignment with the Lord. We didn't break fellowship. We didn't, our fellowship wasn't fractured. It just got off a little bit. How many has that ever happened to you before? Something happened and it just kind of caused your thinking to be off a little bit, how you felt in your heart a little bit, and it just caused you to be a little off. And so those things can happen because of incident, accident. You know, I've seen situations where people, where Christians, attack would come, or a circumstance or a situation would happen that they were expecting. And, you know, they got offended by it, or they felt some type of way in their heart, or the death of a loved one. You know, we've seen people who have lost family members, and they were really believing God, and they didn't understand what happened, and it fractured. It put a little hairline. First, it probably got them off a little bit. They were misaligned a little bit, but they didn't get back on alignment. And so there, a little fracture happened here and a little misconnection with the Lord here, until eventually, that whole alignment became broken. And then they blamed God. They didn't know, you know, how did you let this happen? Does that make sense? I mean, we've all been in different places in our lives with the Lord where things happen that just cause us to get off, broken, fractured, you know, whatever the case is. And those things happen, maybe we weren't expecting them to happen. Maybe things that popped up in our life that we weren't really planning on, okay? Now, Psalm 51, 7 and 8 says this. Where am I at? Here we go. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Now, I was looking at that very specifically, and there's a footnote in the bottom of my Bible. I don't know if it's in yours or not, but it says hyssop was an herb associated with cleansing and purification. It is used here symbolically of cleansing the soul. The Hebrew word for wash is not the one used for a simple cleaning, okay? But rather the washing of clothes by beating and pounding. David wanted a thorough cleansing from the sinful nature. So in this particular scripture, what it's talking about here is that if you wash me, if I go through that purification process, it's not always comfortable. I feel like I'm beat up. I feel like I've been pulverized, because sometimes sin breaks my fellowship. Sometimes there is a fracture that takes place in my fellowship with the Lord. And that purification process sometimes is painful. It doesn't feel good, right? But then you go on to say that as you're washing over me, as this breaking is taking place, as the beating or pounding, so to speak, is taking place, it says, make me hear joy and gladness in the middle of it. And then it says that the bones you have broken may then rejoice. Amen? So there is a purification process that takes place. And sometimes it feels really sweet and good, but sometimes it hurts. When I sinned and got myself into trouble, that purification process, I felt like I was dying. I did not think I was going to make it. It was painful. The resetting and where I had broken fellowship with the Lord and that resetting of what was already broken and then the purification process that took place to reset my bones and get them right back in a proper alignment so that God could heal my heart, so that I could rejoice in that healing. You hear me? Now, I want you to turn to, I'm going to read the same thing from the Passion Translation. Oh, let me get there. I was actually in the wrong spot. Don't lose me while I'm flipping, okay? 51, 7 and 8. It says, purify my conscience and make this leper clean again. Wash me. There's that word again. It's not just the sweet little washing away, but it's that purification process. Wash me in your love until I'm pure in heart. Satisfy me in your sweetness, and my song of joy will once return. The places you have crushed within me will rejoice in your healing touch. So sometimes, not because God is not a faithful, good God and because he wants to beat us up, not that at all. Our sin that causes us to break fellowship with the Lord, our sin that puts fractures in our relationship with the Lord, and our misalignment that puts that wedge on, you know, with our shoulders between us and the Lord is what causes the pain. He has to sometimes reset us to get us back so that healing can come. You following me? And I just thought that that was so good. He's so faithful. And in his faithfulness, sometimes it doesn't feel good. But what comes out of that is so beautiful. What comes out of the brokenness is what causes us to be in proper alignment with him again. Amen? Now, that word, the word bones in there, from the Strong's is the word etzim. And again, I said that that word means power and strength and might. Sometimes our own power, our own strength, and our own might that we're trying to function in has to be reset. Sometimes we don't yield to his power and might. We don't yield to his strength. We try to do things in our own, and we take on burdens that we're not equipped to carry. Do you hear that? We try to go about doing things in our own strength. And sometimes that strength has to be broken in us in order for us to be fully yielded to the Lord. Amen? Sometimes bones have to be rebroken and reset. Sometimes if it's not broken and it doesn't have a fracture in it, if it's just misaligned, you can actually go to chiropractic care. And you can have those things realigned, and it just is enough to get you back straight again where your body's not hurting and in so much pain. Amen? Spiritually. All right, now, take a left and go with me to Psalm 34. Are y'all okay? Psalm 34, and we're going to go to verse 17 through 20, and this is also in the New King James. All right? So it says, the righteous, those who are in right standing with God, cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. Now, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. Now, I also want to say that if you look in verse 17, the righteous cry out to the Lord, he hears them, delivers them out of trouble, And he's near to those who, number one, have a broken heart, and number two, a contrite spirit. In this scripture, it's not talking about I'm sad and I have a broken, my heart is broken. This particular scripture is talking about it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And when your mind and will and emotions are broken to your own self and they're yielded to the Lord, that is the kind of heart that he's looking for. He's looking for a heart who is not moved and operating out of their own mind, their own will, and their own emotions, but he's looking for a heart that is broken to that and yielded to him, his way, his strength, his way of being right. Amen? And then it also says the contrite spirit. That word comes, I don't know how to say it properly, but I'm going to give it a shot. It's dakal or dakal. And it means to crush, crumble, beat, break, and humble. So it almost sounds like the same word as the word wash. It's that process that we go through. It's the place of breaking and crushing our will and what we want and what we desire in order to have what he wants for our lives. Does that make sense? And if you're like me, sometimes that process is not always comfortable. I want what I want. Sometimes, even if it's not the Lord, and I don't want that way in me. I want a heart that is broken for the Lord and for the things of God. I want a spirit that says, your way, not mine. Amen? I want to be humbled. And anything that's in me that's not of him, I want it crushed and away from my life. Amen? So that my shoulders will be in proper alignment and I can wear the righteousness of God as the bride of Christ. Are you following me? God, that's so good. Now, let's also turn to, I want to read that same thing in Psalm 34. And I want to read it from the Passion Translation. 17 through 20. Here it is. Yet when holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain. He is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. God will be your bodyguard and protect you when trouble is near, and not one bone will be broken. In other words, when we allow him to do that crushing inside of us, then our bones are not broken. Our shoulders are perfectly aligned and there's no fracture. There's no breakage between our fellowship with the body, with the head. Amen? Okay. Number two. That was a long one for number one, but that was good, right? All right. Number two thing that can cause misalignment is to be overburdened. We all are not a stranger to this one. At some point in time in our lives, we have all been overburdened with anxiety, with fear, with we've been overburdened with just the cares of the world. If you work a public job, it is very hard sometimes not to bring that and hold on to that. You know, you encounter people. I encounter broken people every day. I work at a pain clinic. Alyssa works at a pain clinic. We encounter all day long. Our job is to encounter people that are hurting in pain. And so it's hard sometimes to not take that and hold on to that weight of their brokenness on me. And I have to make sure that my ride home, I get that off of me. I don't want to hold on to that burden, right? And so turn to Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I should have just brought all of my Bibles and just throw them up here. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to go with 28 and 29 in the New Living Translation, okay? All right. And then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." So when I was looking at that particular word, yoke, that word means, the word yoke, where it talks about my yoke is easy to bear. First of all, a yoke that the enemy puts on you is harsh, is hard, is heavy, and it causes you to be a slave to it, right? It's hard to get off. It's hard to get out, and you actually become enslaved to that burden. How many of you have ever felt enslaved to a burden before? It's like, I don't want to be under this. I don't want the weight of this, but somehow or another, I can't figure out how to shake this thing off of me, right? And also that word yoke is, it is a device for joining parts or pairing items. Also the action of intimacy. The last one, the beams of a balance that connect a scale. So think about it like this. So when he says, my yoke is easy to bear and the burden that I give you is light. So imagine that this is on your shoulders, right? If it's the enemy, he's going to put a burden on your shoulders of anxiety, depression, just all these things that the enemy tries to bombard us with, right? He puts that on our shoulders and it's hard to bear. It gets us out of sync. It gets us off, we're not balanced anymore and we're either one side, in the ditch on this end, or we're in one side of the ditch on this end. I don't know about you, but, if you let a little bit of sin in your life, then you will go from that ditch all the way back over to that ditch. And there's very little in between that will keep you balanced, right? And so what happens is the enemy wants to put a burden on your shoulders that makes it so difficult for you to bear that you don't want to do anything. It's hard to serve God when you're holding on to this burden. It's hard to stand up straight. It's hard to walk. Your walk is unbalanced. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere. You might take two steps forward. I've carried heavy things before. I used to be really strong, but I've carried heavy things before. And when you have a partner who's not equally strong as you and you end up carrying all the weight, what happens? You take two steps forward and two steps back and you're trying to muscle up and grab it because the other person is not holding on with the same amount of strength, right? It's not an even pickup. Does that make sense? In my brain, I can see it. And so what happens is the enemy wants to put this burden on you to hold on for you to carry. And he makes you feel responsible to hold on to it. And if you're not doing a good job managing your anxiety, and if you're not doing a good job managing your depression, and if you're not doing a good job juggling all the things that life throws at you, I don't even know how to juggle. If you're not doing a good job and being responsible, then you're not doing a good job of being a Christian. And you should do better. How many of you have the enemy ever lied to you and told you that before? And it makes you go back and question, am I really okay with God? I felt that way before. And he puts this burden on you so that it will make you want to quit. Well, I'm not a quitter. I don't want to quit. So what do? I barely make it through. Barely as a Christian. I'm not really doing too much for the kingdom. I'm doing just enough to survive, right? Because I'm in pain. My shoulders hurt. I feel weak. I feel defeated. I feel depressed. I feel anxious. I feel all these emotions that are swirling around me, and I'm having a hard time managing it. Why? Because the enemy wants you to wear his yoke and not the yoke that is easy to bear. The Bible says that his yoke, that the Lord's yoke, is light. It's easy and it balances perfect. And your shoulders are in perfect alignment as the bride of Christ to be able to carry anything that the Lord gives you. And when anxiety comes, you are strong and you don't have to carry that burden because you're already carrying His. You can't carry two of them. You can't carry the enemy's burden and the Lord's burden. The Lord's burden is light and it gives you the ability to throw off what the enemy tries to put on you. Amen? Now, let's turn with that same scripture to the Passion Translation. And it says, are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. There's that balance beam, the joining together. Join your life with my life so that you'll be properly balanced. Because if your life is not joined to my life, who's it going to be joined to? The one that brings the heavy burden, right? And it says, learn my ways and you'll discover that I am gentle, I'm humble, and I am easy to please. The devil is not easy to please. He always asks for way more. It's never enough with the devil. It's never enough. You always have to give and give and give and give and give and give and give until you feel like you have nothing left to give. That's not what the Lord says. If you find yourself in that predicament, then you may be wearing a burden that's not the Lord's burden. Amen? Or excuse me, the Lord's yoke. It says, you will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. That's so good. It to me, what it did for me when I was reading this scripture is I could feel the weight of things that were going on. And it just helped me to just let go and be able to once again just open up my heart, and my shoulders felt so much more in alignment than they had before. Make sense? Now, let's go to number 3. So the end of that one is that his yoke is not burdensome. It's not hard. It's light and it's easy, and it doesn't require all the things that the enemy requires of you. Number 3 is going to be overuse and overused. And I was thinking to myself when I wrote this down, well, those seem like the same thing, but they're not. So the third one that the Lord showed me, we're going to turn with Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to go 2-5, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Okay? And it says, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law. We're going to call that the spirit of religion. Okay? So, the spirit of religion says, practice and obey whatever I tell you, but don't follow my example. The spirit of religion says, do as I say and not as I do. Right? The spirit of religion does not practice what it preaches. Right? It says, the spirit of religion will crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease their burden. Everything the spirit of religion does is for show. Hear that, all right? So let's also take a look at it in the Passion Translation, and then we'll chat for a second about it. The spirit of religion, we'll go to verse 3, the spirit of religion will listen and follow what they teach, but don't do what they do. For they'll tell you one thing and do another. Now listen to this. The spirit of religion will tie on your back an oppressive burden of religious obligation and insist that you carry it, but will never lift a finger to help ease your load. Everything that is done is for show and to be noticed by others. The spirit of religion seems holy, but is not. Now, I want to talk to you about that for just a second, because all of us at some point in this room have felt the spirit of religion in a works mentality. You know, the spirit of religion will crush you with demands and requirements of serving God. if you're not doing enough, if you're not working hard enough, if you're not loud enough with your praise, or if you're not humble enough, or if you're not on your knees, or if you're not praying enough, or if you're not going and visiting people enough, or if you're not doing this or that or the other. And the spirit of religion will put a list of rules and regulations on you and make you follow it. The spirit of religion is a taskmaster. And if you're not doing it, you feel guilty because you're not a good enough Christian. Right? How many have ever felt that way? Well, I'm not praying long enough. You know, I got a cold. I got sick. So probably I just didn't spend enough time in the Word. You know, or something must have happened and that I didn't do. And so, you know, that happened as a result of that. And I'm not saying that there's not a place of responsibility for the believers. Hear that. But I'm saying if you are feeling the taskmaster whipping you because you're not doing this and you're not doing that, then maybe you've got a spirit of religion that is over you, that is shadowing over you and trying to overuse you, to use and abuse you. That is what the spirit of religion will do. It will use you and abuse you. There have been people who have quit ministry because they felt burnt out. They felt used and abused. They felt that there was just not enough hours in the day to do all the things that they had to do. And they felt this obligation to do, right? And so they got burnt out and they stopped doing what God wanted them to do. Instead of recognizing that a spirit of religion was on their shoulders, sitting on your shoulders, you got this spirit of religion sitting on your shoulders, and what's he doing? He's whispering in your ear, do this, do that. If you don't, you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not going to be able to, you know, you've got to spend X amount of time doing this and, you know, spend X amount of time doing that. Otherwise, you're not good enough. And that's what the spirit of religion will do. If we feel heavy and we feel burdened, we may be yielding to that spirit of religion. The New King James says, religion binds heavy burdens that are hard to bear and they provide no relief. The Passion says they tie heavy burdens of oppression on your shoulders and they make you feel obligated, and they insist, well, this has got to be the right thing to do. I mean, it's just got to be the right thing to do. I don't really want to. I don't really feel led to. I just feel obligated to. That is a spirit of religion. If the Lord is not leading you to do something, then you're doing it out of religious obligation. That's yielding to a spirit of religion. And it's a taskmaster trying to make you do things. Are you hearing that? So what we want to make sure of is we want to make sure that our shoulders are not being overburdened. We want to make sure that there's no injury to us, and we want to get healed of that if there is. We want to make sure that we're not being overburdened by our own sin or our own anxiety or depression or just the weight of the world bearing down on our shoulders. We also want to make sure that we're not being overused by a spirit of religion. All of these things are things that will affect your shoulder alignment and how you wear the righteousness of God. You hear that? And then the last thing that I want to talk about is going to be number four, and that is poor posture will actually cause you to be out of alignment. It'll cause your shoulders to be out of alignment. And I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read this from the NLT. And we're going to go with 20 and 23. Now, it says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words and don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Okay? So we see here that if your heart is not guarded, then your life is not guarded. We want to guard our heart. It determines how our life functions. A guarded heart determines how your life is functioning. An unguarded heart also will determine how your life is functioning, but it will not be in the same direction. We want our heart guarded so that our life can be in alignment to His Word. Okay? The Passion translation of that same scripture says, "Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep in your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into every core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. From there flows the wellspring of life." And the Lord talked to me and said that, says the posture of your heart is more important than any other posture you can have. So the posture of your heart equals a life that is in line, in proper alignment. So if you want your life to be in proper alignment to Him, and you want to wear the righteousness of God as the bride of Christ, the way you do that is to get your heart in proper alignment. Your heart is the most important part. The posture of your heart and how your heart sets and sits with the Lord is how the whole course of your life will go. So if your heart gets out of alignment and your heart is pricked and there are things in your heart that are not where they're supposed to be, you can guarantee that your life is going to get off of course. Your shoulders are going to get out of alignment and you're not going to be functioning the way that God's created you to, right? You're going to get off path. You're going to get off course. You're going to miss the mark. And there goes the whole process all over again. So if you want your shoulders to be in alignment, the place to start is going to be get your heart right with the Lord and keep it right so that your heart can the proper alignment of your heart can determine the direction that you go in. All right. Now I'm going to give you a story. For some reason, the Lord is really just talking to us about this scripture in several different messages. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read from the New King James. And I'm not going to read the whole 1 through 22. I'm going to hit some highlights, okay? But we know that this is the story of King Jehoshaphat when the war was about to come against them. The enemy was coming up on them and how they handled this particular thing, all right? So it says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea.'" Verse 3, "Jehoshaphat feared." Now this is what he did. So think about it this way. Trouble came. The enemy came to attack. And we can say, you know, the enemy comes at you with whatever type of attack. It could be sickness. It could be, you know, fear. It could be depression. Whatever the case is, the enemy comes at you to bring attack to your walk with the Lord, right? It says, so what did Jehoshaphat do? It says he feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. So his first thing that he did when he learned that the enemy was coming was he put himself in a proper position. That is very important that you understand, because if something comes at me and I'm, you know, like on my tiptoes, or I'm only on one foot, or I'm not, you know, braced, if it comes at me, it's probably going to knock me over. But if I get myself and I'm in a proper stance, then when force comes my way, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be held tight and secure, right? So what happened when the enemy came at him, the first thing that he did was, it said, he set himself to do what? To seek the Lord. And it says, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together, asked for help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah. And what did they all do? They all sought the Lord. So he put himself in proper position as a leader. And then all of Judah followed. Amen? Now, go down to, hang on a second, let me get right here. All right, it says here in verse 14, all these things happen. We're going to skip over to verse 14, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, and hang on a second. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, and then it says, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord, you don't have to be afraid or dismayed because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. So once again, he set himself to seek the Lord, and all of the land set themselves to seek the Lord, and a declaration was made. This battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. So when depression and anxiety and attack comes against you, you set yourself to seek the Lord, and you say, this battle is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. Amen? Then skip on down to, let's go to verse 17. And it says, you will not need to fight in this battle. What's the next posture that he did? He positioned himself. He says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. So the first thing he did was he set himself to seek God, and then he put himself in proper position. That is very important when attack comes. All right, and then the third thing it says, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And verse 18 says, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. So that was another posture. That was a posture of humility. So he set himself to seek the Lord. He positioned himself to hear from God. And then he bowed his face down in humility to say, this battle's not mine. It's yours. And my heart is going to be in proper alignment with you, Lord. I'm going to humble myself knowing I can't do this on my own, but you through me can. Amen? So it's so important because the posture of their heart, first of all, King Jehoshaphat's posture caused the spirit of prophecy to be able to come. It caused the people to be able to hear from the Lord. The posture of his heart caused them to be able to hear from God and hear a word to know what to do. And they did it. And then it says down here that after he sent out the praisers, it says they began to sing praise, and the Lord set ambushments against the people, and they were defeated. So they won the battle because he set himself to seek God. He positioned himself. His posture was not poor. His posture was in alignment with the Word of God. So if we want our shoulders to be in proper alignment with the Lord, we have to make sure that the posture of our heart is in a right direction so that the posture of our life can be positioned to hear from him and to be able to obey and be settled that he is God and he knows what he's doing. Are you guys getting this? It's so good because the thing is go back to Revelation chapter 19. The marriage has come. The wife has made herself ready, and the bridal gown is the righteousness of the saints. So our shoulders are in proper alignment with his word so that we can wear the righteousness of God as a beautiful bride of Christ. Amen? Now, the last thing I want to do is I want to end with this. Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to read from the Passion. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, a child has been born for us. A son has been given to us. The responsibility of complete dominion rests on his shoulders, and his name will be called the Wonderful One, Extraordinary Strategist, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. Great and vast is his dominion, and he will bring immeasurable peace and prosperity. And I just wanted to say that I wanted to end it by saying this. When we join our lives to the Prince of Peace, when we join our lives to the one who the government rests on his shoulders, when we join to that yoke and not our own, then we can walk in perfect peace. We can walk in perfect assurity. Our shoulders are strong, and we can carry out the things that God's called us to do as a body, right? And so if you are noticing in your life that there are any places where your shoulders are not in alignment, or maybe you're noticing that there's some fractures there and your relationship is strained between you and the Lord in a certain area. It doesn't have to be every area, but maybe this one particular area. Or if you're noticing that your life may feel a little out of alignment and you feel that you need, you know, to be able to get that back in alignment, my encouragement to you is, number one, I want you to set the course of your heart. Get the posture of your heart right between you and the Lord. Lord, I ask you to forgive me because, you know, you're showing me this area. You're highlighting something to me right now that may not be right in my heart. And I'm asking you, Lord, to get my heart right before you so that life flows out of me, so that the course of my life can get right back on track. And if you're noticing that you're feeling overburdened, if you're noticing that religion is, you know, harsh and hard and being a taskmaster, and you're noticing these areas in your life, I just want to bring encouragement to you today that when you set your heart to seek the face of the Lord, and when you set your position yourself before the Lord, and when you bow your face in humility to say, Lord, I can't fix me, only you can, then that brings you to a place where God is able to bring repentance. He's able to bring forgiveness. He's able to reset your bones, so to speak. He's able to bring the chiropractic care that you need to get you back in a proper alignment. Amen? Will you come up here, Pastor, and close us out?
When she was talking to me about this, it brought this word to my attention. I've shared it before a few years or so ago. It says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And that particular place of times is talking about the kairos times, the opportune times that the Lord gives us. So repenting is turning from the way you're thinking, the way that you're looking and viewing things and thinking about things. It is having like an about face. I turn from that way and I turn this way, okay, unto you, Lord. It says, "Repent, therefore, be converted, so your sins may be blotted out, so that opportune times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and he may send Jesus, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until all the times," plural, this one is chronos, which means the set times that God has made, "of restoration of all things." So he's talking about opportune times for refreshing and then set times in our life, chronos, set times of restoration. And this word restoration here is also the word, in some translations it's used, restitution. And it's that really long, hard word, apokatastasis. Woo. And it means to reconstitute, to set things back in proper order. The word is also, that's also used is reformation, which is diorthosis. And she was just talking about chiropractic. Diorthosis means to correct, to straighten, to bring back into proper alignment. Isn't that amazing? The times that we need from the presence of the Lord to bring refreshing over us, but also to realign us properly. That diorthosis, to straighten, to bring into proper alignment, that which is crooked, like bringing a bone back into proper alignment. So what we want to pray this morning is for the restoring, but also the reforming for not only me, my life, but also over the church. We want it for the church at large. The bride of Christ isn't me.
Right.
It's not just me. I want to get me right, you know, so that I'm fitting in there properly. But the bride of Christ is what we're talking about, wearing the garment, that dress that is made up of His righteousness. And so my prayer is this, Lord, that You would bring a restoration, a refreshing, a restoring, a reforming to us and the church, that our shoulders, as well as the whole body's shoulders, would be properly aligned so that we can wear righteousness, mm-hmm. purity, holiness, that which He has clothed us with as His bride. Amen? Amen?
That's good.
Is that your prayer with me? Mm-hmm. Amen. I just prayed it over you, okay?
Amen. Amen.
And everybody said amen, right? All right. Go ahead.
Nope, you pray over some.
She said nope. Okay. Does anybody need prayer for anything before we go?